It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome, you listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Happy Labor Day weekend. This is the, I guess, traditional, but not for me, end of the summer. We start the fall season. I've got some little neighbor kids, a fourth grader and a second grader that went back to school this past week. So, boy, I guess the fall is upon us. Jacked up with all the fall sports, but hopefully the governor will pick that up and we can get a little bit of high school football in, but it's not looking good, Bob. I'm Jop. He is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, that's a heck of an intro.
Yeah.
Get right into your diary.
If I could say network one more time, please.
I didn't laugh. It does want to come out as network, though. Right. For some reason, makes my neck kink. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. Happy you took a little time to hang out with us meatheads here and talk about throwing something on the grill. In another couple months, we'll talk about killing it and throwing it on the grill. Later on in the show, we're going to talk about the hunting seasons. But it is Labor Day weekend, and we're all doing different things. What's your plan for the rest of this weekend?
Well, not to get too personal, but, you know, I have a new
bride. Why start now?
Well, I have a new bride, and, you know, I try to do everything I can to please her, and that just makes her happy and me happier.
So you'll be cooking.
You got it. She loves to entertain. So this is a middle of the holiday weekend right now. We've already had one or two stints of cooking, and now it started on Thursday with some family members that came in from out of town. Then it went to Friday, got some tonight, and then some on Sunday. And I don't know if I get a break on Monday or not. But you know what? It's all good. But here's one of the things
Labor Day. You should be laboring.
Right. I guess I am. Yeah. Here's one of the things that has worked really well for me is I love me some skinless, boneless chicken breasts. And I go to our butcher, Tim Sobey. You get the bigger ones.
They're Amish.
Yeah, they're not these little guys that are the size of a tennis ball. Right. These are big ones, right? And, you know, they got a little extra fat on them. If you were to grill them, I don't think that'd be that big of a deal.
Locally sourced chicken are generally better than the factory chicken.
Right. And so what I do is I take a little extra time and I take a not so sharp knife and I kind of push that fat off and then slice it on the edge. Because I smoke them more than I grill them, and the smoker never gets it hot enough to really render all that fat, and I just don't like the taste of it when it's not rendered or crispy, right? So scrape a little bit of that off there, and I've just been using, right at Sobey Meats, I get a teriyaki marinade, but you can get one of those anywhere, right, in a bottle, and I put them in there for only an hour or so because that teriyaki seems to be very salty to me. And I marinate them in there for about an hour and then get the smoker going at about 250 and throw them right on there. About an hour and a half later, they're super juicy. They're done. I'll put a little seasoning on the top of them maybe if you want, but that marinade is just good. And, man, those things are very versatile. If they cool down, you want to heat them up again later. They heat up well, and everybody seems to like teriyaki chicken. So that's been the go-to. For these, when we get a bunch of people over, because if I cook 10 pounds of them, you know, our butcher Sobey Meats is selling those now for like $1.99 a pound. So it's a great way to feed a lot of people for not a huge budget breaker.
I went and picked up a brisket from him and a bunch of chicken wings and smoked them for perforated tube in Ada Thursday, fed his whole crew there, and then he let them leave after lunch, and they're gone till Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
So,
how nice.
Yeah, Dave, good man.
So tell me about how many people were there? How many did you feed?
About 25.
Okay. And so how many wings did you buy for 25 people? Because our listeners could have 25 people coming over. What was your estimate?
I got 10 pounds of wings.
Okay. Now, were they all cut up already?
No.
Okay.
No, I had to cut them.
Okay.
So I, you know, cut them into three parts and then throw the tips away.
Right.
Some people leave them all whole.
Right. I don't prefer them that way either.
No, me neither. I also had I had a lot of company. Last weekend, Jordan's friend Yusuf came up from Dearborn, and his girlfriend, Jordan's girlfriend, came and spent the weekend with us. So whenever his friends are around, I always try and get a little bit of work out of him.
Yeah.
So Yusuf helped me down a couple trees. I've got these, you know, I can't cut trees fast enough.
Yeah.
As soon as I cut them, the other ones are just like pushing into that daylight. And I'm trying to push them back so I have room for... I have to have room to park a motorhome now
because okay.
I'm picking up a motorhome. And I also have to have enough sunlight on one of Maureen's special trees. That we plant a tree every time one of our parents dies, so we have four different trees.
Right.
And
those aren't the ones you're cutting.
Her mom's tree right. is getting overshadowed by these big oaks.
I see.
And they want to lean in towards the house. So I've devised this method. I'm sure other people do it, but... I put my big ladder up on the tree, and I go up there, and I tie a 1,200-pound rope as high up
Boy,
as I can get.
Well, you're strong good if you can get a 1,200-pound rope up a ladder.
Yeah. It's a synthetic tested to 1,200 pounds.
Okay.
And I bring that rope out, and very often I'll wrap it or I'll sling it behind a tree to get it to go in a certain direction, and then I hook it onto the hitch of the Jeep.
Right.
And I get the tree notched. And then I do my back cut, and my driver, this time was Yusuf, we dropped it right where I told him it would go. It feels so good.
Right, right. Not on the Jeep?
No, no,
okay,
no.
Okay, good.
150-foot rope.
Oh, okay, there you go.
100-foot tree.
Right. 1,200 pounds. Do the math, people. Do the
so
math,
then
right?
I have this little steel chainsaw for trimming branches, and... He's a city kid, grew up in Dearborn, you know, good Lebanese kid, and I'd never really seen a chainsaw until he came to our house. And he kind of thinks of our house as home.
Oh, okay.
And so we love it when he comes over, and he's just the nicest kid. But, yeah, so I had help. He was cutting the branches off, and I had the big...
Zine Eater?
Husqvarna, and, oh, yeah, he loves the cooking.
Yeah, yeah.
He always brings us Lebanese food, but... Yeah, so I was batching it all this week. This afternoon, I'll be headed up to Chase Creek Smokehouse to drop my smoker off because they are buying my smoker.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
Yeah, good for you. So
yes.
What a great home for that.
Yes.
They're one of our newest sponsors on the show, and they're up by Reed City, right?
Yep, Chase.
Yeah, and if you don't know where that is...
Look for the Chase Creek.
That's right. U.S. 10 goes east and west across the state, and 131 goes north and south in Michigan. That crossroad right there, and then you head a little bit west, about what, 3-4 miles? And you're
yeah,
in
about
the,
5 or 6.
And you're in the Little Burg of Chase.
I have a feeling that's the biggest barbecue house in Michigan.
Well, I don't know.
We'll have to try and verify that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's a nice one, though.
Yeah.
And
so
it's right on the RV trail, right?
Right.
So, yeah. A lot of fun this time of year round, really.
Yep.
Yeah.
So after that, I head up to the Manistee Forest to team up with my wife where she's up camping with all her friends that she, her gal friends that she camps with a bunch. The husbands all join them on Labor Day weekend. So
I see.
I'll be doing that.
Oh, great. Good for you. That's a good group. I know you enjoy their time. But anyway, what else you got going on the grill this weekend? Are you going to be grilling for those guys, or are you only grilling?
Yeah, I'm bringing my tripod up, and
explain that. What is that?
Well, it's just a tripod, and well, it's got a grill grate on it.
Okay, so
I think everybody knows what a tripod is.
I don't know. That goes under a camera for a lot of people, right? But just hangs over the
this
fire?
This is the camera guys.
Right. Are you cooking on the flames, or will you use that just on the coals?
There's a grate, and I will, depending on what I bring, I'm stopping by Sobeys again, I think, for some brats, and I'll probably indirect some brats on that.
Yep.
Yeah. I love cooking brats.
Yeah. Well, they're good, and they're easy, and they're a little bit forgiving, too, if you don't get them too close to the fire.
Yeah.
You can get them done in 20 minutes, or you might take 30, and they're going to taste just as good either way you go.
Yeah. So we generally make too much food. Saturday night and Sunday night are the big – or not Sunday night. Saturday night is the big meal, and John and I do all the meat, and he's famous for his chickens being done late. So we'll have rotisserie chicken around 10 o'clock.
You can't prompt him to start it just a little bit earlier?
I do, but his can opener just seems to get in the way.
Yeah, right. Canned chicken? You know, you can cook that stuff quicker.
No, I think he's using it for cans of beer.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, hey, coming up next, Bob said he made a little wings this Thursday. We're going to tell you how to do it, whether they were smoked, grilled, or otherwise. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We are live from our studios in downtown Grand Rapids and enjoying this rest of what this summer is. And here we are on Labor Day weekend, the unofficial wrap-up of the summer. Doesn't feel like it's over to me. Man, we've had a great summer, don't you think?
Yeah. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us. I said about 2 weeks ago, summer's done. Yep. It was still hot, but my leaves were turning. And the nights were getting cool, and the days were hot. And it's like, I think this year's done.
Yep.
I have a feeling. And sure enough, I looked like I'm closing my pool as soon as I get home from the weekend. And because my wife said, no, keep it open. We got the heater. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
We won't be swimming.
Right.
So I'm not going to let that 300,000 BTU hog suck my gas bill down if we're not going in it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, doing those wings for the perforated tube guys just kind of made me remember how much I like wings, and I just haven't done them in a while. So I wanted to talk about that for one. And everybody has, like, their own thing that they really love. I really love getting fresh wings and cutting them up and – I throw the tips away, but I cut the two pieces so you have the drumstick kind of piece and then the long, skinny piece.
Flat, yep.
Yeah, and Rob Russell was always fanatical about using grapeseed oil on them in some of our taped interviews and that promo we send out. It's where he keeps talking about, he goes, everybody doesn't like hot.
Yeah.
It's just the way he talked. He's so funny. But...
Rest his soul. Good man.
Yeah. What a legend. But so I just use EVO. I'll usually use like a lime or garlic EVO from Old World Olive Company. And I'll put whatever kind of spice I feel like at the time or whatever I'm trying to get rid of. Mm-hmm. It almost doesn't matter.
Well, yeah. It depends on what you like.
A little salt and pepper is what you need.
Right.
And then smoke them. And if you want a sauce, sauce them. But if you don't have a smoker, you can indirect grill them, which is almost a better way to do it, because then you've got your grill nice and hot. When they're come up to temperature and you think they're where you want them, then just throw them over on the grates and crisping them up, and that way your skin is nice and crispy.
Right.
Because the problem with doing them on a smoker is the skin's kind of rubbery.
Right. And the last time that I've did them, I was following you right along with the lime olive oil, and then there's a spice out there called Pig's Ass, and it's got a picture of a pig on the front of it, as you would expect, and it's a Memphis profile. That Memphis profile and the lime are a really good combination.
Well, that was Rob's go-to. He and I used to sell that Memphis rub, and that's all he'd use when we'd teach the classes. He'd say, this is all you're going to use, because everybody doesn't like hot.
Right. But so then I smoked those for... you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours. You don't want to dry them out. Just look at them, but you want them done, right?
Yeah.
And then I took them off the smoker and had my deep fryer heated up.
Right.
And just put them in there for like 30 seconds just to crisp them, right? And that, in effect, makes them so much better for me than that rubbery skin. Mm-hmm. And it just finishes them off. Because I didn't have a grill going. I just had the smoker going at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little messy getting that oil out.
What, do you
stuff.
Have a fry daddy in your kitchen
No, I just got my regular turkey fryer out. I was doing them in a smoker outside, and I set it up right beside it.
Mm.
Propane. You know, just heated up some oil to 350, dunked them in there until they floated, and boom, you're done. Mm. You know? And they turned out really well. Chicken wings, you know, I scratch my head. Chicken wings are more per pound than chicken breast is, and those thighs that I buy. And there's a tenth of the meat. I guess it's a novelty.
They're so
of the
popular
thing.
Now.
I guess that must be what
brisket
it is.
Brisket used to be really cheap, too.
Right. There's one breast on a chicken, and there's two wings, man. What's going on with that? But anyway.
Well, if you cut them, there's six.
Yeah, right.
So I guess, you know, there are, we talked about that when you did that wing recipe. A couple weeks ago, there's somebody that made that method famous, and they do it in their barbecue shop, and I'm thinking it's Big Bob Gibson, but they're also famous for the white sauce. Yeah. And that's something else you could do is, if you don't get Big Bob Gibson's white sauce, you can make it. There's all sorts of recipes online, but what they do down in Alabama with their chicken is... it's very famous. They'll talk about the white sauce, and they'll smoke their chicken or grill it, and then when they pull it off the grill nice and hot, they dip it in that white sauce and set it on the platter. So it doesn't really look white when you're eating it. It turns kind of black quickly or translucent or whatever,
right.
But it's my mouth's watering right now just thinking about it.
So for those that don't know, what's in it?
You know, I'm going to say it's a little bit like a ranch dressing. It's got. I'm going to say it's a mayo base.
It's got a little vinegar in it too, and, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah, likely. But you can look up the recipes online. There's all sorts of people knocking off, you know, these famous dishes. So just look at them all and get the combination of things that you think sounds good to you. I guess something else I wanted to talk about, since it's Labor Day and people are salmon fishing, all my buddies are posting pictures of salmon, is we got to start talking about how to take care of your salmon. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to The Grilling Guys on The Grilling Guys Talk Network. Don't forget to go to our Facebook page / The Grilling Guys and give us a like. And also, you can go to our website, which is thegrillingguys.com. You can contact me or Jop right off of that. And I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy.
Yeah.
So it also, you know, podcasting is huge. I listen to a bunch of podcasts. Our show is podcast on that site, and I probably don't talk about it enough. This Youssef I was talking about that's at our house sometimes, he's our number one fan. He gives me more feedback on our podcast, and he's done
good or bad. How are we doing?
Good. And all he's right. He's an internet security guy, and he's done diagnostics, and he's, you know, we do a lot of podcasts. A lot of people are downloading that. So if you look at our website, look at the top right side, you'll see a headset. Click on it, and we'll send you the show. And it's no charge, obviously.
Absolutely.
It's worth $1.380.
Right. So what are we doing with salmon?
Well, I still am... on the fence on salmon. The only salmon I seem to like is out of Lake Michigan or the Great Lakes, getting it fresh. I don't go to restaurants and buy salmon. I should probably get a little braver and try it, but so many people, I don't know the freshness when they're doing it, you know, like in a restaurant. So I'm a little scared of it because it's kind of a punkier meat like trout, and I'm not a trout fan at all.
No.
I mean, I love catching them, but it just tastes like trout.
Right. Yeah. Well, what do you know? Imagine that.
So with salmon, I really like the technique you and I accidentally discovered at the tip-up town when we cooked for WUPS. UPS 98.5, our big powerhouse up north. We did the tip-up town, and we did those salmon planks. Plank salmon. And I really like taking the skin off it before I put it on the plank because I think it's a little bit better flavor. Also, we soaked those boards and then we just grilled it, and the edges of the cedar planks caught on fire. I believe we went to Home Depot and just got shakes.
Yeah, I don't remember. I might have got the cooking kind, but they're all the same.
And the edges were on fire when we brought them out, and it was the coolest presentation. Yeah. That's just rambling.
It was a lot of fun, but it really typified the grilling guys because we said fired meat on the counter for people to eat, and it was cold out, so it was kind of cool. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to have our friend Brian from Fen Valley Winery join us and talk about the fall harvest and the great wines that he's making. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live in our studios in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. Hope you're enjoying your holiday weekend and you're creating a little grill envy in the park or wherever you are and just enjoying a little bit of a celebration at the end of summer. Barbecue Bob, we got a guest on the live line now, right?
We have the infamous Brian from Fen Valley, Brian Lesperance. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. I'm not sure I'm infamous, but I'll take it. I've been worse.
You know what? You're famous with our group. We certainly love to visit you and take the tour of your giant underground bunker and see those massive vats of wine. It's pretty stimulating.
Well, we're getting ready to fill them up again. We're right on the cusp of harvest here.
Well, if you need some grape pickers, Jop and I are available.
All right, come on down.
Right.
We need all the help we can get.
Right. 10 fingers, right? And do you need the toes, too, to smash them, or do you do that mechanically?
We do that mechanically nowadays. Sorry.
Oh,
I don't think the FDA might come after us if we use bare feet here.
Right, yeah, but the wine tastes good. But anyway, so how's the season, Brian? How's the growing season this year?
You know, 2020 is going to, be the kind, speaking of infamy, right? 2020 is going to be one of those years that we talk about for the rest of our lives for all these sort of weird things that COVID's brought on. But I could tell you, at least the way we're sitting today, it might also be talked about as one heck of a growing season. We start out a little bit sluggish in May, but man, we have had just a spectacular summer. And so the grapes, They like the same kind of thing we like, temperate, sunny days and chilly evenings. And so we've had a lot of nice sunny days. And so we are ahead of schedule. We should be starting picking here within about a week. And we'll be going through the end of October. So things are set up nice. We never count the grapes until they're in the building. So there's, we're still,
That's got to be a tough job.
Yeah, well, you never know, but being early helps. Being early, Michigan is not known for having the best, weather in late October and November. So
right.
If we can be ahead of schedule, that's always a good thing.
I think we will be. And, I think it was a vintner that did the prophecy on 2020. Wasn't it Mogan David that declared 2020 MD 2020.
Oh my God, yeah, Bob! You're reaching. He's reaching, Brian. You don't even have to.
I'm serious, man. I'm serious. Yeah.
So, Brian, what do you think the best harvest is going to be this year?
Well, any of the early stuff tends to not be affected by the season too much, you know, because it's still going to get brought in when the weather's good. So when you have a good year, the potential benefactors are going to be your Bordeaux Reds. So your Merlot, Cab Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, those grapes are the ones that really have more variability because we're picking those at the end of October. So if we can bring that into the middle of October, the chances of, you know, a better weather situation are just that much improved. So look out for the Reds in 2020 if we can keep this summer going.
So your sweeter whites are done earlier.
Well, most of the white grapes are in pretty early. Yeah. Your Pinot Gris, your Chardonnay is midway through the season. Riesling then next, and then we get into the Reds after that. So those will be the real winners if we can keep this thing going. You know, it's also been a good year for apples, so cider production should be pretty stellar this year as well. And cherries had a decent harvest as well, so we're already into that. Cherry wine and blueberry wine and cider is already in production.
You hit on something there that we should probably pay a little more attention to, and that's your cider. I typically am not a big cider person, but that one cider you have, man, I could drink quite a few of those, I think. Typically with ciders, I find them to be a little bitter or sour, and I get a gut ache. But I only had one at your place, but it was probably the best cider I had ever had, other than maybe one I had over in Great Britain 10 years ago, which was along the same lines. But I typically stay away from them for that very reason. But you're doing something a little different.
Well, thanks. We appreciate it. I mean, you know, lower alcohol fermented beverages has certainly been a hot category the last few years. But, you know, in a lot of ways, cider's been there for forever. You know, that's one of its objectives, is a refreshing, slightly lower alcohol, you know, something that you can grab, you know, to be on the grilling guys. You know, I grab a cider when I'm going to head out to the grill. You know, it's refreshing, it's cold, it allows me, because, you know, maybe 6% alcohol, I can have a couple of them and still navigate my way through the grill. So
is that in a lot of stores? Is that in a lot of stores around Michigan?
Some, and on our website, we don't do a ton of distribution of cider. It's not that we make a lot of cider, but a lot of our work is making products for other clients. That's a good part of our business. Okay. And a lot of those are cider clients. And so we try not to compete with them as much, but we do. I mean, we do have it in some spots, and definitely on our site, we ship hard cider a ton of it now. It's actually been one of the big COVID changes too. It's just been our e-commerce is up, you know, and a pretty amazing amount over last year, and that appears to be kind of ongoing now.
But can we still go to the tasting room?
Yeah, we're doing tastings. We do everything flighted, so you kind of pick what you want, go sit down, and we bring it all to you. It took us a little while to get good at that, but now we dialed it in, and people are digging it. You know, they could sit. We got tons of outdoor space, you know, acres of outdoor space, really. And so you can get nice and spread out, and people seem to be having a good time. Yeah. It's been a steady season.
I would encourage anybody to go to Fen Valley Winery. It's just west of the little town of Fenville, just off of 196. What exit is that?
Well, there's a couple of different ones, but I think it's, what is it, E4, I think, or something like that. I should know this, but I just plug it into Google.
Does it say Douglas, maybe?
Yeah. Well, it's beyond Douglas, south of there. But anyway. So, Brian, did you have success with that? You had the white wine that was in a can, and man, I brought a case of that stuff home, and it just vaporized around my pool, and people were loving that stuff. And is that a year-round, or is that just a summer variety?
We do it year-round, although it definitely sells way better in the summertime because it's good for boats and beaches and campgrounds and golf courses, so it moves a lot faster. But, yeah, next year we upgraded our canning line, and we're going to be able to do with the sleek can, with a little bit narrower can, kind of. Be kind of more fun for wine, I think. So right. we're we're excited about that. So stay tuned for 2021 when we'll have even more wines out in cans, hopefully.
Oh, great. So it's not just going to be the one varietal, but you're going to have a little selection. That's awesome.
Yeah, we've been trying to do Pinot Gris, the Vino Blanco you were talking about,
right.
Rosé.
Yeah, you've had a few different for a while, haven't you? The Rosé.
Yeah, and we have our... Yeah, and we have our peach and honey in a can now, which is one of our most popular wines, and that's a pretty good one for cans, too.
Well, I would highly recommend the rosé as well.
Yep, good stuff. All very good stuff. Well, Brian, we wish you the best. Hey, one last question. This COVID, has it changed your business dramatically other than the internet sales? I mean, is there still demand out there? People are drinking wine, aren't they?
More.
They seem to be, yeah. No, we're really blessed. We've had a really good season, great customers, good support. You know, our events are pretty much non-existent, which is a bummer for us because that's a big way that we get with their customers. But people seem to be embracing kind of the new normal, and yeah, they're supporting Michigan wineries. So we're very fortunate. No complaints, all things considered.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Brian Lesperins, Fenn Valley Winery, Fennville, Michigan. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. All right. Coming up next, Bob's going to do a little offset grilling and reverse your sear. It won't hurt much. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, guys. Schmoe's now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoe's as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale. Or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out and have no doubt, the Grilling Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake, fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows, you gotta listen to the Grilling Guys show. That's it.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, Brian Lesperance down there at Fenn Valley. If you've never been down to that facility,
shame on you.
Yeah, you need to go. It's just wonderful, and it's a great afternoon to go down there. And he's got probably 40 different varietals that you can try in his tasting room. He said he's moved it to be COVID friendly now, and they're doing table service, which is great. But just a cool place to go, and he's supported our little to do here for several years, so we like to support him as well.
Last weekend, it was 10 years since this show first went on the air.
Yeah, I know.
10 years.
We did it.
Yeah.
10 whole years. We're a decade old.
If you think about our sponsors, I can't think of one that isn't a great place to visit.
Right.
Garrett's Appliance. I go there almost monthly. Schmoe's. I was just there last week.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. They had still some of the Scotch ale in the fridge, in the big cooler.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh, is that good. I encouraged them to make a bunch this year.
Sure.
And Gabby's going to be on the show, I think, next week.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Next weekend.
That'll work.
So, Schmoe's, great place to visit. Garrett's, Chase Creek Smokehouse, Sobey Meats, which we talk about incessantly, Old World Olive Company.
Yeah, they were on the show last week. If you missed it, they've got some great, great oils and vinegars, man.
Yeah.
Love that
place. So, I mean, So in terms of great places to visit, yeah, our sponsors are a great start. Uh-huh. And Fen Valley, if you have not ever been to a winery, this one's going to be easy. If you live anywhere in lower Michigan, like from, say, Mount Pleasant on down, it's a great trip. If you're in northern Michigan, there's plenty of wineries over in the Traverse City area, a little easier trip, but still not going to be like Fen Valley.
They're not going to be the size of Fen Valley either. That place is huge. When you get there,
yeah,
it's pretty amazing, huh, the production that they
and
do out
the
of there.
And the varietals they have, they can do some really nice reds. The reds I get up north, I'm probably not tried enough of them, but it's a tougher chore for them.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to talk about offset grilling or reverse sear, and we kind of covered that a little bit already, but a reverse sear, of course, is where you just put it in an offset fashion on your grill. So if you get fire on one side, you put your meat on the other side and just sort of smoke it a little bit.
Let it come up to temperature in an oven-like situation.
Get it like 10 degrees from where you want it finished, and then throw it on the grills and get your good char. It's a really nice way to do it. Talking about Chase Creek, Pat taught me something. What he does is he takes these big loins for a ribeye, and he smokes the whole loin, and he brings it up to about 110, and then he cuts the steaks off and just finishes them off on the grill. Okay. What a wonderful method that is.
Well, if you're serving a bunch of them at one time, absolutely.
Well, regardless, you can keep them in the fridge because you're going to cool it back down. You know you had it to 110, so you can keep it for a day or two like that in the refrigerator.
Right.
And then slice off, you know, if you're serving two steaks, just slice off two. They're done in 10 minutes.
Right.
I mean, that's really nice to be able to deliver.
Because it's pre-cooked,
oh,
right?
Oh, my gosh. It's so good.
And you got a little smoky flavor on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guy's really a genius. I hate to say it. He might be listening, but...
Yeah.
No, that's a cool trick. So that's what we do for our men's group. And now that I don't have a smoker, I won't be able to do steak night. So that's going to be on you.
No, I'm all good. I'm all good. I crawled inside your smoker last time we did that. Well, that's a whole nother story.
But a whole nother.
It was hot in there, I'm just telling you. If you're dropping whole beef loins in the belly of a smoker, you're going in to get them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I'll say. Mm-hmm. We'll leave it at that.
Okay.
But anyway, that offset grilling, a variation of that is the sous vide devices that we have, because you're heating that meat up, not putting any color on it, and then just taking it out of that hot water bath.
Well, that'd
if you
be
will.
Something else you could do. You could put it in your marinade,
mm-hmm.
put it in a sous vide bag,
right,
and then bring it up to 110, pull it off, throw it on the grill.
Right.
We got to try that.
Yeah, I have. It works really well.
Oh.
It's just ugly when you pull it out of the bag because it's got no color.
You got to throw it on the grill.
You got to put a little color on it on
you
the
know,
grill.
That's
absolutely.
Funny because I was telling the story of when we were in Florida years ago. And this guy I'll see tonight when I get up to the Manistee National Forest, Mark, his wife Barb is quite a cook. And Mark is a teacher at that fancy art school downtown.
Kendall?
Yeah, Kendall.
Okay.
He teaches wood shop there.
Oh.
And he's a heck of a woodworker and a great brewer. And
we've been to his house. We spent some time in his basement brewing beer, didn't we?
Yeah. You met Mark.
I kind of remember that, but not really. Because he had a batch done, as it may be, before we got there. Yeah.
So we went to Florida with all those guys one year. And he comes to me one day and he says, "Hey, what are we going to do with these ribs?" And I said, "What ribs?" Because we're camping in tents in Pensacola out on Fort McKinley. And I said, "What are we going to do?" It's always your problem if you're the grilling guy in the crowd and somebody doesn't know what to do.
I've been there. I get it.
So I'm like, "Well, what did you plan on? What'd you bring?" He goes, "Well, I just got this." And he pulls out a little Smoky Joe.
Hibachi.
No, it's just a little baby
Weber kettle.
A little baby kettle. So I'm like, "You got how much ribs?" So his wife cut the ribs into three rib sections. I figured out a way to do it. They turned out wonderful. Did it indirect. I skewered them and I stacked them. And it was a little ugly, but I'll tell you what, they tasted great. And you know what saved the day, I think, for those things? She had them marinating in an apple cider juice combination of spices. And I think that added juice and apple juice on ribs is a really great idea because you pound on ribs pretty hard. I mean, you're throwing them in the smoker for 3.5 hours. There's not that much fat on there that's going to, you might say, oh, they're too fatty, I have to render them. You do, but in the meantime, all the meat between the ribs can get a little bit dry if you're not careful.
Well, you see a lot of the guys that do that on a competition basis, they've got that, like, it looks like a little yard sprayer.
They'll spray them.
Right,
yep.
And they'll open it up every half hour or whatever and mist the ribs on to keep the moisture on them, because that's exactly right. They're not cooking them with sauce. They're dry rubbed, but they're missing them with a apple cider vinegar and you know,
but I guess that was the cool thing about what Barb did is she pre-misted them, you know. So you can actually marinate ribs, and I would highly recommend it. I just did ribs last weekend, and I didn't even think to do it. But in my opinion, those are some of the best ribs I ever made.
Yeah, so
and
they
are. Smoky Joe.
Right, and a Smoky Joe, it had to be difficult to get indirect heat on that. Because it's such a small surface and you had it full
It's tiny.
Right. And you had it full of meat, right?
Yeah.
So did you have to turn them a lot? Or?
Well, what I did was put tin foil on the bottom, aluminum foil, your favorite product. And then I got the coals good and hot. And I lifted up the aluminum foil and kind of stood it up in the middle until all the coals went to one side. And then I folded that down and made a wall or a barrier, a radiation barrier. And then I went out on the beach and got a piece of driftwood for smoke.
Oh, yeah. My ribs taste so much funny. They taste like the ocean.
Sandalwood.
Yeah. You know what that is.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then I stacked them up. I skewered them. They were cut into 3 rib sections. Skewered three of them together. Pretty good.
All right. Coming up next, it is getting close to that fall season that Barbecue Bob and I love. Hunting season is coming up next. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Today's man law. A friend must be permitted to borrow anything you own, a grill, motorcycle, car, firstborn child within 12-hour notice. Women or anything considered lucky are not applicable in this case. And I can tell you that I would probably change that, because if you loan something to a guy who doesn't take care of it, you don't have to loan it a second time.
That's right. And my second part of that man law is if you borrow something from somebody, you bring it back better than you found it.
And full
you
of
fuel. You either clean it, you fill it full of fuel. If you break something, you get a new one.
Yes.
Because that's just what men should do for men.
You want to borrow my Jeep?
Right? Yeah. Bring it full of gas, would you? Barbecue Bob, we're in the first weekend in September, and it's small game season. By the time we do this show the next time, probably we'll be close to being open. The 15th of September, we got the little guys that we can go out and chase around the woods. My favorite of all of this is the rough grouse hunting. So much action. Get to watch the dog run around a little bit. And very rarely, I'll admit, you have to be a very good wing shot, and very rarely do you get the grouse that you shoot at. The leaves are usually still on the trees.
Right.
A little difficult to pick them out, and they just explode off the ground.
Scare the heck out of you.
Yeah, I consider it luck if I get one. Even if the dog is on point, you still can't see them until they explode off the ground.
I agree to the point to where I don't even know what they taste like.
Yeah. Well, there's not much to them. Obviously, they're a pretty small little bird. But anyway, that all opens on the 15th of September, right?
Woodcock on the 19th. And I can tell you, I have actually hit one of those dive bombers. That's a fast bird.
But the cool part about woodcock is they don't fly too far.
No.
They hop and then they sit back down. And
usually
in
a riverbed.
Right, yep. Yeah. And they got that big long beak on them, so they fly funny.
Reminds me of a woodpecker.
Right. Yeah, not really. But else is coming up?
Well, your favorite stuff, man. Hit it.
Well, you know what? I'm not a big goose fan. To me, I'm sorry, guys, if you're like this, but to me, they're a flying rat, man. I just don't like them. You know, I can't figure out how to cook one to make it taste good. Maybe you could hit us on Facebook if you're listening and tell us a good goose recipe.
You did actually marinate some and smoked it once. That was halfway decent.
Yeah, halfway. I'll give you halfway. I mean, I was doing everything I could trying to make it taste like something other than a goose.
Have you ever tried pounding out some breasts and then making goose jerky?
Those are two separate events. And I forget about the goose jerky because I really don't care about it. But
You're naughty, you know that? Right, for a newlywed guy, you got a foul mouth. you got a dirty mouth.
Yeah, early teal season, September 1 through 16. That's already on, man. We're doing that. Snipe. You got a snipe. Those are a lot like woodcock, but
you'd have to have a trash can to go snipe on it.
Right. Yep. Exactly. But anyway, that's good stuff. One last recipe for you. This is a fun one for the holiday weekend. Go get yourself a pound of bacon. I don't need to go any further because bacon on anything is good. Get some skewers, dip them in water for a half hour. Take a shrimp, wrap a half a slice of thin bacon around it. Put two of them on a skewer. Grill them about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes on either side, and you're going to have a wonderful appetizer.
Yeah.
Hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Hey, enjoy this last weekend of summer, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.